Realize that there's a gift in me that you want to draw from. There's an anointing on me today.
Amen.
Amen. If it was just me, I'll tell you, there's not much you're going to get from me in the flesh. You know what I mean? Me, the human. Yeah. But God in me. How many are going to take what he's got for us? Proverbs, if you go to Proverbs, the 10th chapter. We've been preaching every once in a while. We've preached on something else, but almost since February or March, it seems like we've been preaching on this one subject called the blessing of the Lord.
Yes.
The blessing. Everybody say those words, the blessing.
The blessing.
The blessing. Say it again.
The blessing.
The blessing. Bless is that's a Bible word, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. In Proverbs 10, the 22nd verse. This is a verse that people like to quote. Not everybody likes to see it in operation in other people. But it says, the blessing of the Lord. Notice it says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth. Or the King James says, makes rich. And he adds no trouble or no sorrow to it. Now, there's some verses that make you stop and say, oh, man, I better repent. You know, like the one we just read about the sin.
Yeah.
That'll get you quiet, won't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's other verses. If you just put no interpretation on it, just listen to what God said. Because you believe the Bible's God speaking to you, right? You know, if you just listen to that, if you believe that, this is one of them happy verses.
Yes.
Huh? This is a hollering, bellering, shouting, running around. Do you believe that the blessing of the Lord brings wealth or makes rich? Somebody said, I'm not sure I believe that. Then you just said you don't believe the Bible. You might say, well, that's not being having wealth and being rich isn't for everybody. Then you just told me that the blessing's not for everybody. Didn't you? Didn't you? No, we'll see. We're going to have you turn to another scripture, Galatians chapter 3 this morning. Galatians chapter 3. And this is the other scripture that for really these not just many weeks, but now several months, we've been looking at these scriptures and building something. And I believe that we're towards at least the last little bit of what the Lord would have us say on these on this subject right now. How many believe we've extracted all the light that there is? Not even close, right? No. But we just follow the leadings of the Lord and what we minister on. Galatians 3, a terrific verse. Boy, another happy verse. Another verse, I mean, when we read this, you'd almost expect just people to say amen. And, you know, because it says this, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. You don't even have to know what all the curse and the law entails to know it sounds awfully good that we've been redeemed from it.
Yes.
Hmm? If it's any kind of curse, aren't you glad that we've been redeemed from it? What's it mean to be redeemed? Purchased, bought back. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who hung on a tree. Now, he became a curse for us. How many people did Jesus die for? How many believe it was everybody? That Jesus died for all, right? So how many believe that he redeemed all from the curse? Yeah. But it goes on to say he redeemed us, verse 14, in order that the blessing given to Abraham. One translation says the blessing as Abraham had it. Might come to the Gentiles through Christ so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Well, is Jesus for all?
Yes.
Yeah. Then is the blessing that he redeemed us to, is that for all?
Yes.
Well, according to this verse, I mean, you'd have to say, yeah. Is the blessing for all? Then, according to Proverbs 10, which defines, gives us some light on what the blessing entails, is wealth and riches, at least to a degree, for all. I think if you're honest, you'd have to say, well, it sure looks like it, at least with these two verses. Amen. Praise God. Now, we've said so many things, but really to sum up what we've been saying, the blessing on our life, it's the result of us functioning within God's system or God's kingdom or going God's way.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
He wants us blessed.
Yes.
Say amen if you believe that. Do you believe that God wants us blessed? Point to yourself and say it. God wants me blessed. How do you know that, Pastor? He already has done it. If another verse there in Galatians 3 said, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham. We're going to look at another verse in a moment that's going to show you that there's no doubt, there's no question that God wants you blessed. There's no question. You might say, well, my circumstances and the picture of my life doesn't look like I'm blessed. That has nothing to do with the will of God. I said that has nothing to do with what God wants for you. Because the circumstances that are all going on in your life, who said that every single one of those is the perfect will of God? Not everything that happens in your life is the perfect will of God. Not everything that goes on in your life is God's perfect will. To say that everything that happens in your life is God's perfect will is to say you've never done anything but God's perfect will in your life. Amen. The Word of God contains God's perfect will. And when the Word says one thing and your life says another thing, you don't take the picture of your life and say, well, this must be the will of God. No, the Word of God's the will of God. It's the New Testament.
Yes.
Testament is a will.
Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You might say, why are they different? We're going to help you.
Yeah. Amen.
What we want to do is believe God that our life conform to the will.
Yes.
Amen. Instead of conforming the Word of God and conforming the will of God to the circumstances of our life.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm preaching good today. How blessed does He want us if He wants us blessed? And let me use this word, exceedingly blessed. Exceedingly blessed. Now, have you ever heard this term? Somebody said, I'm going to give you enough rope to hang yourself.
Yep.
Hey, man, I might do that just a little bit today. Why would He want us exceedingly blessed? Well, if we're exceedingly blessed, that's the extent to which we can be a greater blessing. The Word talks about, we also read in Romans, where the Word talks about the fullness or a full measure of the blessing. I want to say to you, submit to you this morning, that we must take this subject of the blessing of the Lord seriously. When Christ redeemed us to the blessing, you understand redemption was a serious thing. When we celebrate communion, as we did just a few weeks ago, we saw that it's one of the terms is called the cup of blessing. Blood was shed for this thing that we're speaking about. Now, somebody might say, you know, Pastor, from what I'm hearing, it sounds like you're just preaching a message that's supposed to line your pockets or line our pockets. And that's true. See, I told you I'd give you some rope. Why is that true? God can't get into your pockets if there's nothing in your pockets. Go ahead, throw the tomatoes. I'll take them. I'll just take them. God does want to line your pockets, but He doesn't want to keep it in your pockets. Go to Ephesians 1, and I'll give you this other scripture that we said we'd look at that proves, along with others, that God is a blesser. He wants every one of His children blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed.
Glory to God.
Well, again, Pastor, my life just doesn't look like a picture of blessing. It can change.
It can change.
It can change.
Amen.
Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, look at this, has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. God, when He provided Jesus, He provided the blessing in its fullness. Don't you notice it said He has blessed you with all of them. Every blessing we'll ever need has already been provided for us. Well, where are they? The key was right in here. We could say it this way, in the spirit realm. Do you notice it said spiritual blessings, heavenly places, heavenly realms? And then we read in Galatians, He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the what? The promise of the spiritual promise. Everything, you might want to write this down if you're taking some notes. Everything we receive from God starts in the spirit before it manifests naturally. Everything we receive from God starts in the spirit realm, starts in His realm before it manifests here in our realm. Glory to God. Now you might say, well, yeah, my needs though are natural. My needs are physical. The physical item that you need itself, that item's not in the spirit, but the ability to get it into your possession is what's in the spirit.
Yes.
We've defined the blessing as God's empowerment on our life to increase. Amen. Isn't that what blessing is? He spoke to Adam, the first words man ever heard. God said to Adam, be blessed. He said, He blessed them and said, be fruitful and what? Decrease.
No.
Go into extinction.
No.
Be fruitful and multiply. Amen. We haven't read this in a while, but you remember Deuteronomy 8:17 says, you'll remember the Lord your God, for it's He who gives you the power or the ability to obtain wealth. The Bible says that.
Yes, it does.
Notice it doesn't say he drops the wealth in your pocket.
No.
He gives you the ability. That's the blessing.
Amen.
Amen. The ability to get it. Where are these blessings? Well, He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You got to go to His realm if you want those things to come into your realm. The things themselves aren't there.
No.
The ability to get it.
Amen.
Amen. For instance, you know, I, as most of you, I live in a house. That house existed here on planet Earth before I lived in it.
Yep. Yep.
Amen. Yep. But it wasn't in my name, and I didn't have what it took to get it in my name.
Right.
Amen. The blessing is what can do that.
Yes.
And that's been given to me as part of my redemption, the blessing. Amen. I have to get it in the spirit. How do you do that? Two main ways. Number one, you feed on His words, which are spirit.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. That's how you know what God wants for you in a general sense. And then number two, we believe that praying in other tongues, praying in the spirit is a huge key to receiving all that God has for you, because it's in that kind of atmosphere and environment that you go into the spirit realm and can receive the specifics of what God wants for you. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say, we have been blessed. Didn't it say He has blessed us, or He hath blessed us? He has blessed us. This isn't bad news now. This is good news. It's good news. We have been blessed. He has blessed me. Potentially, everything we require, potentially, it's already ours. But you have to go to His realm, His kingdom. We could say it this way. His way, His system to get it. And that's where we want to be proficient.
Yes.
Amen. I'm going somewhere today with this. Well, see, He tells you what's yours in the form of a promise. And then by faith, we take that promise and receive it. And that's when the supernatural workings of God happen. And what happens? He'll align things different than they were. He'll position things different than they were. So you can enter into and have and become and be what you previously couldn't do. What you previously couldn't have. I said to you, I'll say it again. We must be serious about possessing the blessing.
Yes.
How come? Well, listen to something I just said. We just said that God aligns things. God positions things. Do you understand that so many times when God's doing that, He's positioning people and aligning people? How many here you've ever received the blessing in the form of something? A blessing. Was a person involved? Lots of times, right? God used a person. Does He use people? Times that I've received blessings, I mean, people have had a part to play in it. Amen. Well, one of the reasons we're so serious about the blessing and possessing it is because God's going to want to use us to bring the blessing to someone else. That's what I'm getting to today. That's what we want to get to. Hallelujah. We're going to just line our pockets? Oh, yeah. To get it out of our pockets and be used of God. Turn to two openings, Genesis 12, Acts chapter 20. Understand, if you haven't been with us, that there's a lot we've already built on this as foundation that we're, but you'll get it anyhow. Genesis 12. We've looked at this before, but we want to call your attention to one part of it today. Verse 1 said, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, go to the land that I'll show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. Who is this about so far? Abraham. So far, this is about Abram or Abraham. But then look what it says. And you will be a blessing. I submit to you today that the highest form of the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, the highest form of it is when you are being the blessing. Are you in Acts chapter 20? Oh man, this. Acts chapter 20. This is good. This is good. Verse 35. Acts 20, 35. Paul said, just look at the last part of it. He said, remember the words that the Lord Jesus Himself said. It's more blessed. Everybody say more blessed. More blessed. It's more blessed to what? Give. To give than to receive. I'll say it again. Being a blessing is the highest form of the blessing. But you know, to order to be a blessing, anytime God would want you to, you're going to have to be blessed. God told Abraham, I'm going to set you up. I'm going to do such and such. You're going to become great. You're going to increase. You're going to be blessed. And then you will be a blessing. Amen. Well, no, this is just a message to line our pockets. Good. It won't stay in my pockets, though. Well, Pastor, don't you believe in saving? Well, sure I do. I mean, it's a slow, inferior way to increase, but it's a way nonetheless. I believe more in sowing. And listen now, listen to me. In the kingdom of God, sowing is saving, literally. You might think, well, no, you got to get rid of money to sow. You got to get rid of money to save. You got to spend money to save. You have to give your money to a bank or a company. They're going to multiply it. Like they'll say, okay, I'm going to give you 0.25% interest every year on this money. So you can save and you can increase. And then maybe if it's a good investment, you know, maybe it's 8, 9, 10%, something like that. Amen. And then you can get it back later and hope that you beat the rate of inflation. But when you sow, you give your money, the Lord directs you to give your money to a person or things or to a ministry. Amen. And then God multiplies it by 30, 60, 100 fold. And you get it back in different forms and in different ways later in this life and in the life to come. Come on now. Can I tell you today? I mean, because here again, our country is just kind of getting into the groove and staying in the groove of, hey, this is just hard times. This is just hard times. All you hear about on the news is, well, just want to show you how bad the hard times are and how we've adjusted to living in hard times. And I even saw something in the paper. I refused to read it. But it was something about how people are adopting like poverty standards to make sure that they could live in poverty. Did anybody see that? No, I didn't read it either, but I saw it. I'm not the least bit interested in what adjustments I need to make to live in poverty. And so let me let you know, it is okay for money to leave you for God's purposes. He's able to get it back to you in time. The highest form of the blessing of the Lord that makes rich is when we are designated to represent the blesser to someone else, and you just now emptied the pockets that we're supposed to line. Now you're empty. Now what you gonna do? Now what do we do that now that your pockets are empty? Well, we better go to Ephesians chapter 4. Can we go there? We better get our pockets filled back up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother and sister, it's never been my intention or my interest to just put together a message to hype people up. Right. Amen. If it was just me, I couldn't put together a message. You might say, we noticed. Amen. But I'm trying to flow with the message that God's given me. This is reality.
Yes.
This is real stuff. This is what will help you. It's where the rubber meets the road, if we can use that term. Now, I'm going to read another verse to you that to me just didn't, like, if you just look at it naturally, this verse just didn't do it for me. Now, let's read it. Verse 28 says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer. Well, that I agree with. How about you? But must work. That I agree with. Doing something useful with his own hands. Here's the part that always messed me up. Doing something useful with his own hands that he may have something to give or to share with those in need. Now, I want you to know ahead of time, there's a natural and a spiritual application to this verse. If you just look at this verse naturally, it probably won't add up. And here's what I mean by that. We live in a natural world, don't we? Satan is in authority, if you didn't know it, in the natural world we live in. He's called the God of this world. Amen. God is not in control of everything that happens in our world. Don't believe it. I know there's been songs written about it. It is not true that God is in control. Amen. Of everything that happens. What a horrible job God's doing if he's in control of everything that happens. He's letting planes go down. He's letting all kinds of things, you know, he's letting the economy just go to pot.
Right. Yep.
No, God is not totally in control. Amen. The church, as the church yields to God, the will of God's able to be done. Praise the Lord. But in the world system, the Bible says Satan's the god of this world. This world system is based on buying and selling instead of sowing and reaping. And if the buying and selling stops, the system breaks down. And we got to prop it up and bail it out, which is what we've just done. If you only operate in the world system, it's going to be very difficult for you to do verse 28. Because I'm supposed to work, right? I'm supposed to not steal. I'm not supposed to not cheat anybody, right? Not cheat the government, not cheat customers, things like that. And I'm supposed to have the ability to give generously. According to that verse, do you agree that that's what the verse says? Huh? Well, I don't know about you. Some can do that. But as far when I look around, not all can do that. Huh? Why? Because not all do the same type of work. Right? And the work that some do doesn't hardly allow them to live, much less give. Seems that the only way to live for some people is to cheat the system somehow. But see, that's just looking at it naturally. What's it? How does it work spiritually? In God's system, you don't steal. You don't rob God. You work it. Listen, you work at what He's assigned you to.
Yes, that's exactly it.
His plan for your life, whatever the occupation is. And by operating the laws of sowing and reaping, by working in operating the laws of the kingdom of God, by the blessing, you can have what you need all the time and overflow to every good work. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 says that. And so you're working, according to this verse, is providing the seed for your giving. Well, what do I live on? The blessing. The blessing. You understand that not everything that comes to you goes through you. You live off of what God gives as well. This verse, this will work for everyone who will operate the laws of the kingdom, not just Americans.
Amen.
Hmm? The blessing of the Lord that makes rich, I got to tell you, it has nothing to do with the government. It has nothing to do with the economy. And what this verse is letting me know, it has nothing to do with your occupation.
Amen.
Are you going to listen to this later or something and say amen in the car when you're listening to it on your CD? Because I'm losing about most of you. Amen. Are you taking it in? Is that it? I'll say that again. The blessing of the Lord that makes rich, it does not depend on the government. Doesn't depend on the economy. Doesn't depend on your occupation. The blessing works independently of those things. That means that the person who is called to be the teacher's assistant in the school does not have to feel like I've got to be the principal if I'm ever going to increase because they make more money than I do. I don't have to pay money, get into debt, go back to school, learn to be the teacher. Don't have to. Amen. In ministry, the assistant pastor doesn't have to say, I got to get out of here and get my own thing so I can, because I'll never. Come on now. You can do what God's assigned you to do. And if it's cleaning houses, that's honorable. That's great. Be the best at it. But you don't have to feel like, well, I'll just never be able to increase because I'm cleaning this doctor's house instead of being the doctor. Praise the Lord. I know people with multiple degrees, they have not much to show for it. And I know people, educationally speaking, who are dumb as dirt. And they're very rich.
Yes.
The blessing will work for everyone who will work it. We want the fullness of it. We're just bold enough to say, I want it all. Why? So I can be fully used of God to be a blessing. Now, I'm going to wrap this series up here if you give me a few more minutes. This is for all of the body of Christ. But I just want to let you know there are so few people in God's body that he can go to if he needs 50 grand today. You might say, well, God doesn't need money. Oh, yes, he does. Yes, if his body needs it to accomplish his will, he needs it. He needs it.
Amen.
Some folk will say, well, no, the gospel's free. Okay, next time you need to go on a trip, just tell the airlines. Has it ever worked yet? Tell the airlines, I'm a minister. Tell the hotels, I'm a preacher. When you go to get the lights, get the staging. Just tell them, hey, whoa, what's this charge? What's this invoice? Charging? The gospel's free. When you need money, thank God they know, God, here's the bill. You need money. And where's it going to come from? The promises and the faith work in the spirit realm, but the dollars and the equipment are not in that realm. I want to let you know there's no dollars in heaven today. No American dollars in heaven at all. They don't take them there. There's no dollars in the spirit. They are distinct. American dollars are distinctive to America. And they're only on earth.
Yes.
And from what I'm told, most of the $100 bills aren't in America. They're in other banks in different countries. Most of the hundreds, that's what I've read before. Amen. So the dollars are here, but that doesn't mean you can only get the dollars via this world system. Amen. But see, even when you get it God's way, other people are going to be involved. Now, when you have most of his body broke, and then many of those who do have some means about them won't obey, because they're scared of what's coming up. Is it any surprise that God says that it's going to not just take faith, but some patience if you're going to inherit these blessings?
Yeah.
Why patience? Because there's people involved in this thing.
Yes.
Now, God can get it to you.
Yes.
One, as one preacher said, if he's got to put it in a little paper bag and give it to a dog to come up and drop it on your doorstep, he can get it to you. Amen. But for us, sometimes you're going to be sitting there sweating, saying, is it coming? Now, do we now see that we've been preaching this for a couple months now? Do you now see that why we're preaching a truth that's displayed in the lives of so few of his believers? Now, the headlines of our paper say that the biggest problem in our region is there's just a lack of good paying jobs. But I want to tell you, I know someone who's hiring.
Amen.
Yeah. God needs someone he can funnel the blessing through. God needs some churches that can be distribution centers for the gospel. Amen. Well, we'll close with this. Go to 2 Corinthians 9. We'll look at that scripture. I want you to say something with me. Say this, please. The world system will never work. God's system will never be broken. Amen. Believers, brothers, and sisters, you will never be able to function in the full will of God just using the world system. Amen. If you're obeying God, if you're in faith, if you're going to have the blessing of the Lord, he will always put out in front of you what you can't do.
Yeah.
Amen. It wouldn't take faith for you to do what you can do.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. You're going to have to do it God's way. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. What did I say? 2 Corinthians 9. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times. Now, don't just read over that. Look at that. In all things, at all times. What happens then? Having all that you need. Then you'll abound to every good work. He wants us to be a blessing. Didn't want to conclude this series without talking about the highest form of the blessing of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, it's not to line your pockets to stay in your pockets. One preacher said it this way. Yeah, we're talking about money in church. I know it. But it's money with a mission. Is this the prosperity message? You better believe it. But it's prosperity with a purpose. You get it in you. You let this explode in you. My Lord. We're just determined. We say it all the time. We will have everything that God has provided for us. We will possess by faith everything that he's given for us to do. Amen. And that would include possessing every dollar. It's not greed. Amen. Is possessing what? Was it greed for David to go after that big old giant? He could have picked on someone his own size. Why did he whip that big old giant? It said, "Oh, I'm going to get the wife that King Saul promised. I'm going to get all the riches that he promised."
Come on.
No, when David died, brothers and sister, that big inheritance he got from Saul was vastly multiplied, and he left it all for the work of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Father,
we praise you today. Thank you for the goodness of God. Thank you for the faithfulness of God. Father, I thank you that the longest day I live here on this earth, I'll know that the word says that the blessing of the Lord makes rich. You add no sorrow to it. Jesus paid a precious price to redeem us unto the blessing as Abraham had it. And Lord, we'll have it. We say, say it with me, everybody. I'll have it. By His grace, I'll have it all. So that I can be an example of the goodness of God and can be used of God to be a blessing anytime He needs something, anytime He wants to position me or use me, He can have it all because I know there's more. Thank You, Lord, that I am blessed to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the word's good, isn't it? Hallelujah. Blessed to be a blessing.